welcome to the GI Cancer Podcast, brought to you by the European Society of Digestive Oncology.
Hello everyone, and welcome to this podcast. My name is Anna Maria Bucalo, and I am a part of the ESDO Young Group. I am pleased to have with me today Professor Mariana Arvanitakis. She is a professor in the Department of Gastroenterology of Erasmus Hospital, part of the Brussels University Hospital, and she specializes in pancreatic disease, nutrition, and endoscopy. Hello, Professor Arvanitakis.
Hello, Anna Maria.
So today we are going to talk about the management of pancreatic cyst lesions. So, Professor Arvanitakis, what can you tell me about the incidence of these cysts and what are the different types?
We are actually in front of a pandemic of cysts now because the incidence is rising, not because they appear more frequently than 20 years before, but mostly because we diagnose them, even in patients that have no symptoms, because we do now cross-sectional imaging, also including MRI, much more frequently than 20 years ago. Now, the different types is important to differentiate because they don't have all the same risk of malignant transformation. And not all of them even are real pancreatic cysts, what we call pancreatic neoplastic cysts. So we have to, first of all, differentiate with pseudocysts, which would derive from an acute pancreatitis episode. And this is very important to, therefore, it's very important to question the patient about any previous episodes of pain or chronic pancreatitis. Now, the real cysts can be classified in mucinocystic lesions and non-mucinocystic lesions. The non-mucinocystic lesions are the more frequently are the serocystic neoplasms, and some cases more rarely of cystic pancreatic neuroendocrine tumors, and also solid pseudopapillary neoplasia. So these are more rarer types of tumors. And within the mucinous lesions, we will have the mucinocystic neoplasm and the intraductal papillary mucinous neoplasm, IPMN, which can be differentiated in branch duct type and main pancreatic duct type.
And how do we diagnose these cysts?
So the diagnostic workup will include most frequently cross-sectional imaging, like CT scan or MRI, and usually these cysts are diagnosed in patients that have no symptoms because of another problem that's not related at all to the pancreas. So usually we will have if we have a CT scan, we'll complement the workup with MRI. Because we have a very good definition of the MRI, we can see also the pancreatic duct, which we can see the content of the cyst, we can see if there's a solid part in the cyst, and we can see if there's a communication between the pancreatic duct and the cystic lesion. Based on the MRI, we will complement with endoscopic ultrasound, which will help us define better the cysts. Also assess if there is a cysting component or a mural nodule, as we call it, and also allow to have fluid cyst acquisition or even tissue acquisition if there's a mural nodule. And also we have some adjuvant US techniques like contrast injection or elastography to better evaluate the solid parts of the cystic lesion.
And when do we talk about worrisome features?
So we tend to stratify the mucinous lesions according to the risk of malignancy. So just to go back about the different cysts, the serous adenoma, there is no risk of neoplastic of cancerous transformation. So we can, if we have the diagnosis, we can stop following it. Mucinous lesions like the mucinocystic neoplasia and IPMNs require follow-up, and there are the risk is stratified according to different features that we'll detail in a minute. And finally, the other two more rarer cystic types of lesions like the cystic pinnates and the solid pseudopapillary neoplasias also have to be operated. So follow-up is only required for the mucinous lesions according to the risk stratification. So what we call worrisome features are features that alert us that we have to follow up the patient. And we also have high-risk stigmata. So these are high-risk features. In this case, if these features are present, the patient has to get surgery. So let's start from the high-risk stigmata. So this, of course, you have a positive cytology. If you have a high-grade dysplasia or intrasitu carcinoma, it means that the patient requires surgery. If there's a solid mass or a mural nodule, which enhances with contrast injection that's larger than 5 millimeters, it's also a highly risk factor for surgery. And also we talk about high risk stigmata if there is symptoms like jaundice and main pancreatic duct of more than 10 millimeters. Now, the intermediate risk signs, so these are the alarm signs, these are growth rates. So if you have a cyst that grows more than 5 millimeters per year, a cyst diameter that's more than 40 millimeters, a marker CA 19.9 that increases, a main pancreatic duct that's not 10 millimeters but between 5 and 9 millimeters, and if you have an enhancing mural nodule but it's not 5 millimeters but a bit less, and symptoms like new onset of diabetes and acute pancreatitis, these are worrisome features, and these certainly mean that the patient needs to be closely observed or even operated. All these need, of course, MDT discussion and will depend also on the clinical status of the patient, if he's operable or not. So in case that there is no worrisome features or high-risk stigmata, then we talk about low-risk patients, and these patients are surveilled if they can be operable at one time.
And how do we treat the cysts that need treatment?
So until now, we have to operate them. If a cyst shows signs of malignant transformation that has high-risk stigmata, then surgery is the only radical solution. For some specific indications, nowadays we can also offer local ablation with radiofrequency, but only within clinical trials and for some specific indications such as cystic pinets and maybe mucinous cystic lesions that are more than 40 millimeters in patients that cannot be operated. But the treatment is surgery.
Thank you very much, Professor Arvanitakis, for being with us today. And we will see you for a next podcast. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to ASTO Podcast.